or no deal? The president says it's decision time on the debt ceiling.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open. A look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, still no deal on the debt ceiling. So why are investors so convinced that their holdings of U.S. debt are still the safest bet in town? But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are up right now. The Dow up 50 points at 12,487. The NASDAQ up about 0.7% right now. The S&P 500 up 0.5%. We found out this morning that inflation fell last month for the first time in a year thanks to a drop in gasoline prices. Consumer prices dropped by 0.2% in June after rising by the exact same amount in May. Now let's get to the debt ceiling debate in Washington. There is still no deal with just 2.5 weeks to go before the nation starts defaulting on its debt. President Obama will hold a news conference this morning, and leaders in Congress are asking their members what specifically they would support in a deal. Chris Lowe is chief economist with FTN Financial. He's with us live from New York, as he is every Friday. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Chris, as we get closer to this deadline, are you and your fellow economists on Wall Street starting to get kind of stressed out?
It's been probably one of the most stressful weeks since the financial crisis for us, because the politics here is just so darn ugly. But you look at the financial markets, and Treasury yields are trading at extremely low levels. It's as if people almost aren't worried.
Treasury yields, you mean that people are actually willing to take less of a payment on their ownership of government bonds. Why would they be doing that?
Well, I think the answer is that when you look at the balance of risks, the economy, after all, is barely growing right now. And if there is a default, I think investors figure it does more damage to the economy than the risk to treasuries from a potential downgrade in the credit rating.
So investors would actually rather have their money in bonds and risk not getting paid back by the government than have it in stocks and risk some kind of a double-dip recession.
Well, that's right, and mostly because, after all, you would get paid back. It's just not necessarily getting paid back on time.
Chris Lowe, chief economist with FTN Financial, thanks as always.
Thank you.
Well, Clorox has a buyout offer on the table this morning that values the company at $10 billion. Comes from billionaire Carl Icahn, as Marketplace's David Gura reports.
Icahn is worth billions, and he's used that wealth to shake things up at some big businesses like TWA, Texaco, and Yahoo.
He engages with the company, oftentimes at the board level, and goes about trying to improve the value of those companies.
That's Damian Park. He advises firms on how to deal with activist investors. Park says this trend has grown over the past few years.
There's an enormous amount of cash on corporate balance sheets.
And that means investors like Icahn want companies to do specific things with that cash, like give money back to investors. Activist investors tend to buy between 5 and 10% of a company's stock, then go to its board with demands, and that can create controversy.
The controversy is related to whether activists are seeking short-term gains versus long-term value improvement.
Park says these days it's more common for them to stick around longer, helping to shape long-term strategy. I'm David Gura from Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By IBM, working to help mid-sized businesses become the engines of a smarter planet. Learn more at IBM.com/engines. And by Putnam Investments, recognizing the value of financial advice since 1937. Putnam Investments, a world of investing.
The final Harry Potter movie opens in theaters today. So far, the Potter films have grossed $6.4 billion worldwide. But with no new books or movies planned, how long can the boy wizard keep conjuring up profits? Sandon Totten of station KPCC reports.
Believe it or not, Harry Potter is over the hill. Or at least the brand is, according to marketing professional Susan Ganelius. She wrote the book Harry Potter, the story of a global business phenomenon. She says every brand hits a peak and then declines in value.
So the challenge for the Harry Potter brand right now would be finding ways to slow that decline cycle.
Cornelia says J.K. Rowling and the Potter marketing team are off to a good start. Last month, they unveiled a website called Pottermore, a place where fans can test out digital spells, get sorted into Hogwarts houses, and buy ebook versions of the Potter saga.
This is a brand that can't decline significantly anytime in the near future. There's too much invested in it from the corporate perspective.
Cornelius guesses that even with no new content, Harry Potter has at least 10 years of solid profits left. After all, Warner Brothers has DVDs and movie merchandise to sell. Universal Studios spent over $200 million on its Wizarding World of Harry Potter theme park. And of course, there's the mom-and-pop wand shops.
We sell probably about 50 to 100 wands per week.
That's Stan Golden, owner of a Potter-themed gift shop in L.A. called Whimsic Alley. Golden says he opened the store when Potter fever was sweeping the nation, but he thought about closing it last year.
The last book had already come out. There were a couple more movies set to come out, but I didn't know what would happen after that, whether there would be any longevity in this franchise.
But instead of closing, Golden expanded into a bigger building, and he says sales keep climbing. But even Golden wonders how long it'll be before a chapter titled Harry Potter and the Point of Diminishing Returns. Of course, if you ask 16-year-old Madison Mojica, who was checking out the wands at Whimsic Alley, Potter vendors have nothing to worry about.
We're the Harry Potter generation. It's never going to die for us.
If fans like her turn out to be right, the spell could last for decades. I'm Sandon Totten for Marketplace.
And finally, to an art heist in suburban Cleveland. It didn't happen at a museum, though. It happened at a Taco Bell. A group of young adults were caught stealing a piece of nacho art from the dining room wall. Not sure if they were planning to sell it, which may have been difficult anyway because of its probably unmistakable smell of chalupas and gorditas. In any case, it was returned to the Taco Bell wall and has been valued at $157. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Know your customers. It's basic. So for American firms going to China, here's a tutorial.
You know, a lot of these are migrants. They'll move from these cities, striking it big. They've got their college education, and it's kind of empowering. And so we're trying to capture that in terms of how we are positioning Chevrolet.
I'm Kai Rizdal. What you need to know about the biggest market on the planet. It's our series, The 5-Year Plan, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.